Okay, Sichas Aran Lamed Hay is a continuation of Rabbi Nachman's approach to Amunah, and how a Jew has to constantly be mechazik himself in Amunah. Yesterday we saw in Lamed Dalet how a person has to have a simplistic Amunah like a child, and a person who has Amunah will actually be zochet abanim, because Amunah is gematria abanim. We spoke about tzedakah being the atbash of tzedakah, to just have Amunah. So now Rabbi Nachman tries to warn us and threaten us, telling us about what's going to happen before Mashiach comes. Va'amar, Rabbeinu said, Lamed Hay, Shaholech apikursis gadol ala olam. Be prepared for the great atheism that is going to come upon the world. V'chein siper kama pa'amim shaholech v'nimshach apikursis gadol bavonoseinu harabim ba'olam. And he spoke many times, he warned us, again, about the great apikursis that is going to come over the world. Ashrei mi, praiseworthy is the person who is able to mechazik himself when the whole world, as far as Amunah is concerned, seems to be falling apart. And I think we could all say, on many levels, we're living through this. It's not a chiddush to say such a thing. But Rabbi Nachman predicted it long ago. And he predicted it so that we would be able to draw strength from it. And that's what he goes on to explain. V'amar afal pi she'eno mo'el klal mashu mesaprizos. On a certain level, the fact that Rabbi Nachman tells us there's going to be heresy in the world is not going to help us. You know why? Because the nature of the apikorsis is such that someone will laugh at this and say, look, he predicted that there's going to be heresy. That was just Rabbi Nachman hedging his bets. He was worried that his bad idea called God might die out. So to hedge his bets, he said, I predict that people are going to stop believing in God. And that way, when people stop believing in God, it'll look like, it's a chizik for God. So in a certain sense, Rabbi Nachman said, the apikorsis itself is going to be so, the language of the apikorsis is going to be so threatening, and it's going to be so much on the attack, that it's not really going to help you to know that there's going to be apikorsis. That's nice. You know there's apikorsis. Is that going to be mechazik me to not fall in? To not be trapped by it? She apikorsis ba'olim v'shatzvich l'eschazik atzo ba'amuna. Ki afal pishu omer zos afal pichein miskaberes apikorsis v'abilbulim. He says, even though I'm predicting it, and you would think again, now that we see the fulfillment of his prediction, look, Rabbi Nachman said it's going to be this way, so we have nothing to worry about. We'll just roll right through this, because we know this is just part of how Mashiach has to play itself out. So you'll say, I knew about this. I'm not threatened because I knew about this. So says Rabbi Nachman, I'm telling you this, it'll hopefully be mechazik you, but in a certain sense it's not going to help you. Well, you think I'm the first one to tell you that things are going to get very rough before Mashiach comes? It says in Sefer Daniel, in Perek Yud Beis, in Sefer Daniel, Shekodem Shiavu Mashiach, Yisbaru v'yislavnu v'yitzarfu rabim. There's going to be a long process of birurim, of cleansing, of purifying, of separating the good guys from the bad guys. V'hershiu rashaim v'amaskilim yavinu. The rashaim are going to fall into this trap. They're going to be the ones who are destroyed and driven away. And a person who's wise will understand. So Daniel told us what's going to happen. Daniel predicted that, well, once upon a time, right, God was a given by most people. Now it's a hard sell. And Daniel said it's going to be that way. Yes, many people are going to have to undergo a period of refinement, and the Rasham are going to be Rasham at that time, and the few of the proud, the Maskilim, those who are wise, are going to emerge somehow unscathed from this difficult time. So he predicted it. So now that we know that this is how it has to be, there's going to be a long process of clarifying who really has Amunah. There's going to be many tests and levels of challenge to question one's Amunah. And the person who survives, who passes all the tests, the guy who's still standing at the end with his Amunah intact, he's going to be zochet to all the brachos that were promised by all of the Nevi'im. So, great, so now we know. We know what's going to be. We know that there was going to be, Daniel told us, or Rabbi Nachman in more recent times told us, There's going to be many threats to our emunah. We know about it, and we should be prepared for it. And you shouldn't be shaken by it. You're going to find some books, you're going to find some videos, you're going to find some outspoken individuals who may be very intelligent, have a lot of scientific knowledge, a lot of philosophical knowledge, and they're going to come with all sorts of very hateful attacks on God. No problem. Yeah, I knew you were coming. I expected you. I've been waiting for your arrival. So you would think this would be mechazek us. So I know that many people aren't going to make it. I know the secret. The end has been predicted. So I'm going to be one of the people who makes it. It should be a way to see right past the trick, right past the Nisan, right past the test, because again, I knew it had to be this way. So that would be great if that was true. Even with knowing it's going to be this way, even with the prediction that it has to be this way, whether you look to the Nevi'im, whether you look to the Tzaddikim of more recent years, it's still a very hard Nisayon. It's still very hard, even if you know, even if you're hard of heart, you know. But to be able to go day in and day out with Emunah, when you feel like, when you're made to feel like a fool because you believe, is a very big Nisayon. And therefore, even with this knowledge, it's still very difficult. And that's why Daniel says, I'm predicting what's going to happen. And I'm also predicting that what? What did Daniel say? That Harshiu Rasha, many people are going to be labeled a Rasha at that time. And it's again, it's the Sheirus of Plato, that small handful of individuals who fight and fight and fight. And they know that if I keep fighting, then maybe I have a fighting chance. This is a very interesting thing. Actually, let's just read two more lines. Achafal pichin, concludes Rabbeinu, but at the same time, achafal pichin. So why am I telling you this? It's not really going to help you. Daniel tried to tell us, and he also predicted it doesn't help so much, knowing this. Who does it help? You know who it helps? It helps those handful of individuals who are trying to survive another day in Galus. That those few are holding on and they're looking for things to grab onto so that they don't slip. They can grab onto me as one more thing. Oh look, Rabbi Nachman said it's going to be this way. They hold on to the words of the tzaddik. This will give, in the midst of all the battles, it'll give a person a little bit of menuchas nefesh. Just pausing for a second, saying, you know what, it had to be this way. This is no chiddush. We knew it was going to be this way. And that'll be a source of ischazkus, v'isamtsus, yoser, kishiyiru shekvar dibur mizeh mikodem. When we stop and reflect on the fact that a tzaddik told us it has to be this way. No chiddush. Okay, had to be this way. And therefore, I'm not surprised that it's difficult. And I shouldn't feel bad that I'm struggling, because Rabbi Nachman said it's going to be a fight, it's going to be a struggle. And that's a source of chizik to me. It's very interesting to talk on a psychological level. When a person knows something bad is lying ahead, does that help a person or does that hurt a person? Is it helpful to know that there's a struggle up ahead? Or is it more of a bilbul hadas to know it and let it just play itself out and keep quiet about it and we'll deal with it as it arrives? We sent a parak of Tehillim yesterday. One of my wife's close friends, her father is in the midst of being diagnosed with something not so good. Hopefully it should be very good. We should learn for... His name is... It's a long name. Asher Lemuel Tzvi Meir Ben Esther. He was the first son after like a lot of daughters, and there were a lot of men who needed to be named for. So Asher Lemuel Tzvi Meir Ben Esther Shever Fuh Shlema. So my wife was talking to her friend yesterday, and they still don't have like a full diagnosis and a prognosis and a game plan. And my wife's friend was asking her, you know, how did you deal with it when I was sick last year? So my wife said, right now you're in the hardest stage, because you're in that stage where you don't know. Once you know, then at least you can start to deal with it. Right? Now it may be very difficult to do, but you find strength when you know what's up ahead. So Rabbi Nachman saying, listen, I don't want to scare you to cause more of a bilbul hadas, but I'm just letting you know, it's going to be really rough. But take chizik in the fact that what? I'm telling you it's going to be this way. Expect it to be this way. And deal with it. Can you think of any other examples of this? I was trying to think yesterday. Any examples where we find a Maimer Chazal, a Pasuk in Chumash, something where something is predicted And it could be very frightening, but it's sort of comforting. The prediction itself, as frightening as it is also comforting. Anyone think of any examples? Yeah?
You're going to go down to Mitzrayim.
Okay. Hashem says, you're going to go down to Mitzrayim, and I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to come up with you. That's a very good example. Right? That all of Galus is rooted in that fact, that Hashem said, it's going to be really rough, whether you, right, talk about the Brisbane and Besarim, or later Psukim, where Hashem, again, is reminding us that it's going to be very dark, but Hashem says, Vanochi, I'm going to come up with you, so I'll be there with you. Yeah. Now that you mention that, it reminds me of the Gemara in Megillah, that says that was true by all of the Galus. Right? Golu Lebavel, Shechina Imam. Golu Paras, Umada, Shechina Imam. Hashem's with us every step of the way. So that itself is, you're telling me Galus, but you're also telling me what? You're also telling me I'm going to be with you. Now that you got the ball rolling, now actually you got a few more ideas in my head now. Yeah, I just thought of another example. How about Eke Asher Eke? When Hashem says to Moshe, go tell the Jews, what's your name? Eye Asher Eye. What does Rashi say on that? I'll be what I will be. I'll be with you in this Galus, and I'll be with you in future Galus. What does Moshe say back to that? Maybe it's better to just say what? Not Eka Asheka. What does Rashi say there? Die Lahem. It's enough for them with the current tsar. You're going to start telling them about future tsar. They're still sitting in Mitzrayim. You're telling them, oh, by the way, we're going to do this again at some later point in history. There's also going to be Auschwitz after Mitzrayim. That's what they need to hear right now? So Moshe is saying, better not to say. So again, and I think different people react differently. And I think you could argue both sides. Yeah, what else?
I'm just from my Yosef, when he's going down and there's the Reach.
Okay. So as Yosef is being sold to Mitzrayim, there's the good scent. Okay. So that's being mechazik. That's really to mechazik him along the way, right? That wasn't necessarily guaranteeing that everything's going to be okay in the end. So Rabbi Nachman's telling us, and part of the reason Rabbi Nachman, again, if you have svaras on both sides, too much information is good or too much information is not good. The reason he feels comfortable telling us is because the end of the story he also told us. He didn't just say, it's going to be really rough, hang on tight. Then I might still be in the billboard. But he's revealing to us the end of the story, which we all know, which is what? But in the end, it's going to be okay. In the end, it's Mashiach. So it's a rough ride, but hang on, I'm giving you a guarantee. That's more like Yoni's example, right? I'm going to go down with you into Mitzrayim. But don't worry, I'm telling you now, we will come out of Mitzrayim. We're going to get out. Yosef was, right, the question Dafka there by Yosef is, here he doesn't know what it's going to be. And it's very nice that you're giving me a nice smelling caravan on my way to hell on earth, but, you know, that would be the equivalent of a Jew on a, Rahman al-Islan, in a cattle car on his way to Auschwitz, right? But, like, you know, he got a good spot by the window so there's some fresh air, as opposed to the guy who's squished into the opposite corner. It's not like such a chizuk when he's on his way to what he perceives to be his death.
And the far should explain that it was kind of like a Meshika from Hashem saying, you know,
right. Looks... Yeah, I know the Rav Chaim Shulevitz, but so what? No offense, but so what? No, I'm saying so what? Hashem gave him a kiss on the way to Auschwitz. Thank you so much. Okay, so I think the pshat is a couple summers ago. I thought of a pshat that I think answers that finishes it. When Yosef didn't know, again, that's the question. And again, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz is I'm not a chas v'shalom. Taking away from what he's saying. He's saying that was a chizik for Yosef, right? That kiss did carry Yosef, despite the fact that he didn't know the end. When did we find out the end? When did that smell, that scent of the caravan actually make sense? I think it made sense by Kabbalah Satorah. Because the Gemara says in Shabbos, that when Hashem said, Enochi Hashem Elokecha, the world filled up, the world was filled with a reach besamim. That's what the Gemara says. So I think that's the punchline, that Yosef had this scent of besamim on the way to Mitzrayim, and he said, what's this besamim? That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, the whole point of going to Mitzrayim is what? Is that Tav Dunas Elokim Alahar Azeh, you'll come out of Mitzrayim, you'll come back to Kabbalah Sor. A smell sometimes takes you back. So to speak, Klal Yisrael, when they smelled Har Sinai, they said, wait a minute, that was the smell of Yosef HaTzadik. Right? They somehow connected to it and said, now we understand why this all had to be. But that's only after the fact. That's looking back. Rabbi Nachman is telling us up front, it's going to be rough, and it's going to be okay. I'll tell you the example I thought of yesterday. Standing in an elevator with Asher Becker, for those who know Asher Becker. And I asked him this question. I was just starting to think about today's piece of Sichas Haran. I said, can you think of any examples of this idea? Where having the information is a source of chizik for a person. So we were thinking together as we traveled from the sixth floor to the first floor. And as he was getting out of the elevator, I thought of one. I shared it with him. And Tov Mashnayim and Echad was in his chus that we uncovered one. In Parshas Nitzavim, Rashi and Nitzavim. Anyone know what I'm referring to? Rashi says at the beginning in Nitzavim, Perech of Tes, Pasuk Yud Beis. Rashi says, exactly, first he gives Pshat, and then he says, Medrash Agada, Lama Nismacha Parshas Atem Nitzavim L'Klalos. Why does Atem Nitzavim Ayom Kulchem come after all of the Klalos of Kisavo? Lefisha Shamu Yisrael Mea Klalos Chasar Shtayim. There are 98 Klalos in Kisavo, 98 curses. On top of the 49 curses of Torah's Kohanim. On top of the Tocha found in Parshas, Bichugosai. Horiku Paneam. Horiku Paneam means what? Horiku Paneam means their faces, right, were whitened, they were drained. They lost all the color in their face. They were terrified. God's looking to destroy. This is the description of the Holocaust. So the Tocha is. Horiku Paneam. V'aru mi yochel lamur be'elu. Who could survive such a thing? We're not going to make it. Yeah? So who came to give them the end of the story? So Moshe Rabbeinu starts off what? Atem nitzavim hayom. Now the truth is, if you look at some of the Mefarshim on Rashi, Rabbi Vadim Bar Tanura, for example, wrote a super commentary on Rashi. He writes there that the truth is, in the coming Pesukim and Nitzavim, there's still some negative speech to come. There's a Avodah Zarah amongst you, right? So why all of a sudden, that's what Rashi's about. Why attend Nitzavim Ayom all of a sudden? The answer is, Klal Yisrael is starting to give up. And Moshe says, no, it's going to be really rough, but it's going to be okay. Attend Nitzavim Ayom. You're still standing here. You think this is the first time you got in trouble with God? You got in trouble in the past and you made it through. Atem Nitzavim Ayom, you're going to make it. It's going to be rough. So Hischa Moshe Lefaisa, Moshe comes to appease them. Atem Nitzavim Ayom. Look, you're still here. Har Be'yechasem L'makom. Many times you angered Hashem. V'lo Asa Yitzchem Kalaya. And he didn't finish you off. There's so many times, God. Be'cheda Egel. That was pretty rough. But we overcame. We pulled through. V'ari Atem Kayam L'fanav. So you made it. You're still here. Atem Nitzavim Hayom. And he says, Hayom, Rashi says, Hayom, Kayom Azeh. That sometimes it's dark, then it's light. But you know the cycle, you know how it goes. So as long as we know the end, I think that's the pshat. As long as we know the end of the story, then we'll be okay. Then we can hang on. So Rabbi Nachman says, yes, before Mashiach comes, there's going to be tremendous apikorsis that comes to the world. We know that in Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael fell to the 49th level of Tumah, right? We know from Kisvei Arizal, Lo Yuchal Ismameya, they couldn't wait another second. Lo Rechaim HaKadosh writes in Shmos, Perek Gimel Pasuches, that before Mashiach comes, we're going to fall to the Shar Nun. That point of no return. I thought that's the point of no return. I thought you can't fall to Shar Nun. Lo Rechaim HaKadosh writes, I have it here, in Shmos, Perek Gimel Pasuches, famous Lo Rechaim HaKadosh, he says, they weren't able to fall to 40, level 49, but before Mashiach comes, we're going to fall to the Shar Nun. But I thought you can't go to the Shar Nun and get out. So he says, you'll be able to get out now because we have the Torah. Prior to Kabbalah's Torah, you can't go to level 50 and survive. He says, once you have the Torah, B'tam sh'nistaknu Yisrael b'Mitzrayim b'biur Shar Nun. The reason that the Jews of Mitzrayim couldn't handle level 50, letzad shelo hayu b'nei Torah. They didn't have Torah. But if you have Torah, if Torah exists, once you're mekabel the Torah, you can get out of any mess. So what is this Shar Nun? Rav Chaim HaKadosh is predicting that when Mashiach comes, before Mashiach comes, we're going to be there. Rabbi Nachman is saying, I'm telling you right now, you're going to go to the lowest places that man has ever gone. So what is this Shar Nun? What is Shar Nun? So some of the writings of Kamarna, from the Tzaddikim of Kamarna, they write that the Shar Nun is apikorsis. Shar Nun is complete apikorsis. Shar Nun is the casual dismissal of God. What is it? Atheism. Heresy. A complete rejection of God. Where God went from being the obvious choice to being the hardest sell. That's a Shar Nun. I think I mentioned to you guys, some of you in the past, my brother one time told me, he was by the Stuchina Rebbe on Shushan Purim. Shushan Purim by the Shina Rebbe is a big event. A very drunken event. So the Rebbe's up on the table and he's unloading Pnimius HaTorah, secrets of the universe. And the Rebbe at one point said, this probably goes back, I don't know, 7-8 years, the Rebbe all of a sudden starts talking about this Indian of the Shar Nun. And I wasn't there, my brother told me. The Shar Nun is this Indian of Apikorsis that's going to spread over the world before Mashiach comes. And then the Rebbe starts darshing. He says, and that America, which is the, you know, the world power, the leader of the world, they set the tone for the world. Yeah, the free world, so to speak. The place that gives us the ability to choose anything we want. Right? That freedom which comes with a great cost. Yeah? So the Rebbe started darshaning how there's 50 states in America. And the 50 states correspond to the 50 Madrigals of Tumah. And he says, just like there's a... he says, it used to be there were only 48 states. And then there's Hawaii, and then there's Alaska. And he says, Hawaii is hot, and Alaska is cold. There's the Gehenim Shel Eish, and Gehenim Shel Shelag. And the Rebbe has this whole mahalach how America and the freedom of America is bringing us to this atheism. It's giving us the religious freedom, which is a bracha. But it also gives us a very easy way to choose what? I'm out. I'm not interested. So Rinachma says, this is how it's going to be. Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, 147 curses. Yeah? Horiku Panei, we're not going to make it. No. Atem Nitzav Mayom, you're going to be fine. It's healthy for a person to know kind of what the realities are. When the Baal Tanya wrote his Sefer, yeah? The Sefer is called what? What's the real name of the Sefer? We call it Tanya. What are the other names of the Sefer? Okay, and what's the other name of the Sefer? Sefer Shel Beinonim. And if you learn through the Sefer, the first time you read through it, you're painfully surprised to find out that if you're lucky, you'll be a Beinoni. What do you mean? Right? The Baal Tanya says to you, Kuli Hai V'ulai, you should be a Beinoni. And then he tells us, I think it's in Perek Chavav, that a Beinoni is doomed to struggle forever. You're never going to be Yiratara. Your whole life's going to be one big struggle. No? So is that good information or bad information? It depends what you do with it. If you understand that a Beinoni is not so pasha to be a Beinoni, it's a chash of Madrega to be a Beinoni, the way that the Baal Tanya presents the Beinoni, and you understand the realities that I'm going to have to battle, so I don't become despondent over the fact, like, why haven't I gotten past this Yetzer yet? You know why? Because that's the reality. That's how it's going to be. So Baal Tanya is telling you, this is the reality. Don't be depressed by it. It's hard. It's difficult. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, but don't worry, Atem Nitzav Mayom. And that's what Rabbi Nachman is saying to us. He's speaking to that ma'at, and he wants us to be a part of that ma'at. B'shvil osan ma'at ha'ksherim, she'yichazku atzman be'munasam. Who can be mechazik themselves, and can put up a fight. This is how it has to be. Now we turn to Reish Chaf. Let's do two other pieces in Sichah Saran. And then I want to hand out a small piece from the Klausenberger Rebbe. In Reish Chaf, 220, Rabbi Nachman goes weiter with this theme. And here it's written very, very much in the context of what they were specifically going through. Unfortunately, I don't know the history enough to tell you what was happening at that time. In the late 1700s, the early 1800s, but he's going to describe it here. Pam achas amar le'echad. One time Rabbi Nachman said, agale lecha sod, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Again, a secret that's supposed to be mechazek you, not to make you depressed. Because the end of the story we also know. She'a apikoros is gadol ba'olam. There's going to be great atheism coming to the world. It might say, in God we trust on your dollar bill right now. But that's going to be a joke one day. People are going to try to change that. Don't be surprised. Ki milamala yavo apikoros is ba'olam b'shvil nisayon. That it's going to be, this is the reality, that apikoros is going to come to test the world. Va'ani yodeya sha'anashim shali gam b'lo ze yischazku be'amuna be'emes. And I know, Rabbi Nachman says, I spent my whole life trying to give over emuna to my followers, so I know that my chevra, my anashim, the people who study my Torah, are going to have emuna regardless. And I know that my people, even without my prediction, are going to be fine. I know my chevra is going to make it, but you know what? They'll have extra chizuk, knowing that we spoke about this. You're not going to be surprised. That first time that someone comes at you with like a really, you know, spewing a really hateful attack on religion, right? Say, oh, I've been waiting for you. Rabbi Nachman told me you're coming. It's a pleasure to meet you. I was always curious who the apikoris, you know, gadol ba'olam is. It's apparently two. You can say hello to the guy. The kedvar ma'ela nishma mipiv hakadosh kama pam. Rabbi Nachman Ruchaz at this point many times. V'hayu misaneach ma'od al zev omer oy. Now Rabbi Nachman again, he was feeling our pain. Eich yuchlu lamor anashim mu'atim neged kol olam. How is it going to be? How is a handful of people supposed to fight off a whole world? But he's telling us that's the reality. As if we weren't small enough to begin with. Rav Moshe Sternbach has a pshat, has a vart in this past week's parsha, his Tam Vidas. He calls him Mariel Diskin. He says, a Jew has to be a really good Jew. Why? He says, Rav Mariel Diskin said, very passionate, he said, because best case scenario, yeah, you're already like a miyut. Meaning, the Jewish people, anyone who actually has a Jewish neshama, is such a tiny percentage of people. And that percentage of people who have a Jewish neshama who want to be from Jews is an even smaller percentage. And those from Jews who want to not be passive Jews but want to be proactive Jews who are really working on their Yiddishkeit is an even smaller percentage. Right? So when the Torah tells us that you're ma'at mikol ha'amim, even within ourselves, every Jew has to say to himself, there's so few of us who really want to do a good job. And therefore, to do a good job means I should want to do what? A really, 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 really good job. Because Rabbi Nachman says, "Oy, eich yuchel lamor anashim mu'atim neged kol olam." How are handful of people supposed to take on the whole world? And yet, that's what's going to be. V'inei samuch ma'od. Acher istalkuso zichron l'bracha. So it says, Rabbi Nassan, that shortly after Rabbi Nachman's passing, ra'inu ve'einenu zos, we started to see exactly what he was talking about. We saw new degrees of apikorsis like never before. Should take off his chilis pashit apikorsis galu ba'olam, mashallah haye kazos mi mekadem. We've never seen things like this before. It's so invasive, the way that it's entered into our midst, into our machana. Ki af al pisha kvar his chilis moach, nega mispachas azos medinos rechokos. Even though we've heard murmurings in foreign lands, in faraway places, that there's a new spirit that's looking to take over the world. But it hadn't reached our place. Happy Korsim before some, Deshamkum before some, the well known Happy Korsim. Right? But it was all at a distance. There was a Hebrew literary periodical that really started to gain ground around this time, around the time the Ptir of Rabbi Nachman. So Rabbi Nassim says, we've heard about these things, we know that these things exist in the world. Right? And some of them are even Jews, a Hebrew literary periodical that's looking to strip Yiddishkeit of anything godly. But this illness had yet to reach our borders. When Rabbeinu passed away, and other tzaddikim passed away, we lost our generals, our leaders. Now it has spread amongst us. And if you're saying that this is not predicted, it's predicted. The tzaddikim of the generation have been screaming, "Watch out! It's coming!" And no one listened. Nah, these people have nothing to worry about. They're writing a little publication. It's not going to spread. It's not going to change the way people think about God, about religion. Now they have the upper hand. We've become the minority opinion. Our voice has been silenced. Oy lanu, mashigil lanu b'dor senu ela. Whoa, what has become of us? And look what it's led to. This disbelief in our Kodesh Baruch Hu has led to the gezeira that's come about indirectly because of this. What gezeira is he referring to? If you look in the footnote, for those who have the little footnote, Hakavana lekichas bnei Yisrael etzava. The conscription laws of 1827, where Jews were being taken from their homes and being thrown into the army, right? Basically, never to return. Even those who returned, by the time they gave them back, they had shaken every little bit of neshama out of them, so to speak. Shevtzira sakira alzekia. Do I don't know what that means? I have no idea what that's a reference to. Oy mehayalanu. So again, things are happening and it's really bad. Exactly like Rabbi Nachman said what happened is happening. Hanora mikodem beruach kacho, what he predicted in his awesome Ruach HaKodesh. V'adayin holchem uspashtim b'chol eis, and it's still spreading. Oy miyodea ma'iyah b'yamim habayim. Who knows what's going to be in the days to come? Nuchever, you're in a pretty safe environment right now. For the most part, no? In yeshiva, you're pretty safe. Okay, there's a couple college classes, which, okay, ishtakalapi courses, okay. For the most part, you're pretty safe. You're in a pretty safe Torah environment with plenty of kosher food, plenty of Jewish people, plenty of people to teach you Torah, plenty of bati medrash, plenty of minyanim. It's a pretty safe environment, yeah? But at some point, most of you are going to go out to the world. Rabbi Shippel told me a vart before the break. I didn't get a chance to share it with you. It's a very strong vart. From the Galanta Rav. Rabbi Yeshua Buxbaum. So the Galanta Rav said the following vart in Tachnun. Listen to this vart. We say in Tachnun, we say Shomer Yisrael, and then we say Vanachnu Lo Neda. So the Galanta Rav said, we know the halacha, we say Shomer Yisrael be Yeshiva, and then we say Vanachnu Lo Neda be Amida. Yeah, we stand up for Nachnu Lo Neda. So the Galanta Rav said with Derech Drush, when a person's in Yeshiva, Shomer Yisrael. Yeah? But when a person goes, when he's Amida, when he's Omid, when he gets up to leave, Anachnu Lo Neda, we have no idea what's going to be with him. We have no idea what's going to be with him. And he said it even more. If we can't even be Shomer Yisrael, be Yeshiva, if we can't even keep you from when you're in Yeshiva, then Anachnu Lo Neda, who the heck knows what's going to happen to you when you go out to the world? We're not surrounded by people who in theory want to be a part of the same team as you. So Rabbi Nachman said, it's really rough out there. Oy mi yodea ma yebi yamaba. Who knows what's going to be in the days to come? If you're struggling now, chas v'shalom, what's going to be as you go weiter in life? And your responsibility to come that much more. Ukvar kasavnu masha omar hu zechor levracha. And now he chazes over what we saw on Lamed Hay. That what shall zeh yisnavnu kol nivienu, this is what Daniel was predicting. Yisbar v'yislavnu v'yitzarfu rabim. There's going to be a large process of birurim, of clarification, of purification. The philosophers, the atheists of our times are trying to rip people away from their pure amuna. Now that we've been told that this is going to be the Nisayon, now hopefully we can pass the test. It's still going to be a Nisayon Gadol. We write this. Those who want to know the truth should know. We can be able to at least machazik ourselves saying, no. Rabbi Nachman said it's going to be rough, and it is rough. And we're going to be okay. Attempted some mayom. We will stand strong, even ba'amida when we leave yeshiva. L'man yelahem l'meishiv nefesh l'chazek libam ba'ashem v'toras v'kadosha kasher kibalim rabosenu zichrono l'vracha b'gemara u'poskim. Let's just look at one more piece in the Sichos Haran, Kuf Chav Vav, 126. Okay, and here he says a little bit different. Shabbos Shuvah, 1809. Shabbos Shuvah 1809. Anyone know the dates of Rabbi Nachman's life? Lived a short life. When did he pass away? He died later that year. Shabbos Shuvah is still the beginning, right? 1809. I mean, it's still he passed away in 1810. But it was later that year. It was Tav Kufayin. Right? By the English calendar, it was still 1809 because it was, you know, whatever, September time. Leil Motzi Shabbos Shal Shabbos Shuvah Shnas Tav Kuf Ayin. According to our count, Dibru Mi Mashiach. End of his life, Rabbi Nachman spoke on the Motzi Shabbos Shuvah. He spoke about Mashiach. Because a lot of people were saying that was the year for Mashiach. Everyone was saying Tav Kuf Ayin, it's going to be Mashiach. It was a prediction. And Rabbi Nachman said, no, it's not. Mashiach's not coming. No, Rabbeinu, you're crushing us. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're telling us all these klalos. It's not good, you're scaring us. What do you mean, no Mashiach? Rabbi Nachman says, I'm giving you a realistic prediction. Let me tell you how it's going to be. V'amar oz shekodem shiav Mashiach, lo echad yeh sheyitzak al amunah, Ki kama tzadikim shiu od yutzokim b'kol gadol almuna kamoni. Hayom. Ad shiyah nichar grona. He says, right now, Rabbi Nachman says, right now I'm the only one screaming about Amunah. Mashiach's not going to come when only one tzaddik like myself is screaming about Amunah. There's going to have to be a lot of people screaming about Amunah. Screaming to the point that what? Nichar gronam, that their throats are going to be dislodged, ripped out of their place. They're going to be so red in the face from screaming, trying to help people to just hold on. So if people aren't screaming about it yet, it's not as bad as it needs to get before Mashiach comes. That's what he says. I'm the only one talking about Amunah so far. So he says, trust me, Mashiach's not coming. What? Yeah, to rip their throats out from screaming. Shekor and Blush and Ashkenaz, like they say in the German, maybe the Yiddish, in Reisen die Kehle. Okay, I don't know. It means like screaming your head off or something like that. Yeah? V'lo yo'il. But it's not going to help. It's going to get to a point where the tzaddikim are screaming, Amuna, Amuna, Amuna. People are saying, Ech, Amuna. It's Katana, these small people. Only a fool would have Amuna. Amuna based on what? Why should I believe? Give me one reason to believe. Prove it to me. Yeah, prove it to me. Prove to me God exists. Prove to me. We'll disregard the tzaddikim like that. They'll be screaming, please. Amuna, hang on. Nah. Lo yo'il. U'mashikosuv. Like the pasuk says in Yeshaya, "Kol anishar b'tzion v'anosu b'shalayim, kadosh ye'amer lo." Look what he says here. You know what Chazal say on that above Basra? It's a shocking mamar Chazal. V'amer avosenu zichron levracha sheyom rufnei atzadikim kadosh. That the angels who say kadosh, kadosh, kadosh to Kadosh Baruch Hu are going to say kadosh to the tzadikim. They're going to point to the tzadik and they're going to say, "Look, you are the what? Kol anishar b'tzion v'anosu b'yerushalayim, that tiny remnant that remains of Tzion and Yerushalayim, which are places but also ideas. Kadosh ye'amer lo." They're going to say kadosh to the tzaddik. What a chiddush that you're still here. Hu kipshuto. That yeah, the angels are really going to look at the tzaddikim and say, "Wow, unbelievable. We're living in an unfathomable time." Remember that piece of Shem Yishmuel? We didn't do it. Parshas Vayechi, but it's in Parshas Vayechi. We quoted that at some point. I don't think we quoted that in Shem Yishmuel here. You remember what Shem Yishmuel says why Yaakov lost his Ruach HaKodesh when he wanted to predict Mashiach? You remember this piece? Why did Yaakov, Bikesh Yaakov Legalas Sakeitz Venista Mimenu? Yaakov blanked out. What caused him to lose his Ruach HaKodesh? Because when he started to talk about Mashiach, he looked into the future. What did he see? He saw us, and he saw all our tzaras. And he became so depressed from that you can't be a Baal Ruach HaKodesh if you're not Besimcha. So Yaakov looked at our struggles and was so broken by it that he lost his Ruach HaKodesh. So should we be terrified? Should we be afraid we're not going to make the cut? Rabbi Nachman says, "I'm telling you, you're going to make the cut. I'm telling you, it's going to be tough. Choose to make the cut. Don't be surprised. Don't think you're failing because it's really hard. I'm telling you, it's going to be really hard. And you'll make it, if you want to make it. Ki bevadei atzadikim sheyisharu oz v'yischazku v'yishar b'menasim ha-kadosha yiru'uyim lomer lefneim afilu yosir mizeh. Those people who are still left, more than kadosh yamer lo, Rabbi Nachman says they should be saying much more than that. What a chiddush that you're still here. Me'achar sheyisharu kayom be'emunah v'lo yonichu atzam lipol v'litos, that they didn't fall into the seduction of the atheism of the day. Chas v'shalom. Right? Chas v'shalom. Achar olam. That they didn't fall in after the world. V'hikamam before some manhigim shel sheker. And look out, says Rabbi Nachman, because there will be many leaders who are at the root of this sheker, some of them even Jewish leaders. V'ein safik shlo yimatze oz kibbutz kamonu hayom. Shenim tzom kam b'nei adam shemizkabzim yachad shechafetzim ebes l'shmoa d'var Hashem. Rabbi Nachman says, you're not going to be able to find a chever like we have here. He's talking to his people. He's saying, soon there's not going to be a Rabbi Nachman and a group of his followers to sit with if you want chizik. You're going to be on your own. You're not going to be able to find a chever like this. There might be a few individuals who are still kosher yidden. They're going to be scattered all over the place. You're going to feel dislodged, this place. You're going to feel lonely. Remember that shir from the Mashpia, Echaraya Avram? The loneliness of Avram at the beginning and the loneliness we encounter at the end. The Chachosman, we seal the deal with Avram Avinu. Mugi and Avram, right? Okay, Avram, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov. How do we end? Gvaram Psachim, Mugi and Avram. Echaraya Avram, every man for himself. Onav Amar, Ksov Zos, Zikaron Besefer. The puzzle we read a few parashios ago. It's going to be recorded. Let's write this down now. So that way you're going to sit in Tav Shanayin Vav. in Chodesh Shvat, in Washington Heights, New York, with a couple of chevra, we're still trying to be like that kibbutz kimono that he's describing here. And you're going to be reading Sichas Aran, Lamed Hay, and Reish Chaf, and Kuf Chavav, and you're going to say, you know what? I can make it. Ah, it's really hard. Hey, that's exactly his point. It's going to be really hard. But Ksov Zichum B'Sefer, write this down, what I'm telling you, this prediction. Leman Yedu B'Yam Abayim, Shekvar Hayamisha Yada Zos Mikodem. So we'll be able to say we knew about this. V'Yedu L'Ischazik B'Amuna Bo Yisparach U'V'Tzadikav Amitim. And therefore we'll be able to attach ourselves to the true Tzadikim and hopefully have a fighting chance. I want to just conclude with a little piece from the Klausenberger Rebbe. Okay, Chavar, take and pass. In the Shef HaChayim, in the volume of Shiurim, Chumash Rashi, that the Klausenberger Rebbe gave in the 1980s, that they've been printing recently. So in Tafshin Mem Aleph, in the year Tafshin Mem Aleph, which is what? 1981. The Klausenberger Rebbe gave his Chumash Rashi Shiur in Parshas Pekudei, and he spoke about this piece of Sichas Aran. Okay, and I want to end with this. Take a look at the side of the page that says Shin Chav Tes on the top, page 329. Now the whole piece is beautiful. I only gave you a page and a half of it. The piece is about 5-6 pages. And the theme that the Klausenberger Rebbe was speaking about, Rav Yekusiel Yehuda Halberstam, who went through hell on earth and lost his entire family in the Holocaust, and suffered terribly, terribly at the hands of the Nazis. But guess what? He kept going. You know why? Because Rabbi Nachman said it's going to be rough. And he quotes this piece of Sichas Aran. Amazing. Who knows if he drew from this, the chizik that he himself drew from it. The whole piece he's describing, the Zelu Umazeh. It's pasuk in Kohelis. In Kohelis, Perek Zayin, pasuk Yudalit, it says, "V'gam ezeh l'umazeh osa elokim." Zeh l'umazeh osa elokim. What's the Rosh Hashanah, by the way? Zeh l'umazeh osa elokim. Azazel. Azazel. Because for every sar la'ashem, there's a sar la'azazel. That's exactly the point the pasuk's making. Zeh l'umazeh. There has to be, for every davar shebe kedusha, there has to be a sitra achra, so to speak, that opposes it. That keeps Bechira. That gives us the choice. So every time a tzaddik is born into the world, when the neshama of a tzaddik comes to the world, the told us Yaakov Yosef writes in Parshas Shoftim that a neshama of a rasha kenegdo comes to the world. And you can see that. You can see that throughout history. Hashem very delicately maintains the balance. Okay? Of the tzad tov and the tzad ra, and that gives us the ability to choose in the middle. That's what this whole piece is about. That at the same time Hashem created the world, that there's tov, vavo, v'chosha al pnei amayim, there's a ruach elokim, or a chafes al pnei amayim. So it's all there, mixed up together. Until Mashiach comes and Hashem removes the tumah completely, and we're just left with what's good. So look what he writes at the bottom of Shin Chav Tes. Mikol ha'amor, two paragraphs on the bottom. Yesh lanu lilmod keitza lamod eison b'yemos ha'mashiach. From everything I've been describing to you, this duality of positive and negative in the world, and getting caught somewhere in the middle, use this to be mechazik yourself, to be eitam, to be strong in the time period of Mashiach. Kasher kedusha kvar me'ir v'zorachas meis oris oris shel melech Mashiach. We're living in such a confusing time. On the one hand, we feel the light of Mashiach is right here. Shemaschil laheir kvar b'chol ha'olamos v'chol yitzinoros. It's shining not only in the upper world, but it's already trickling down through the pipes. Which means that we can, if we look up, we can see it. It's coming down. It's happening. As it says in the Zohar Kadosh, on some level, the Zohar writes that Karav Limos Mashiach Afilu Hayeladim Yasigu Azaketz. There's going to be such a reboy of Pnimiyas HaTorah that little kids are going to be talking about Mashiach, predicting Mashiach. People are going to be studying the Svarim HaKadoshim way before the age of 40. Because we're holding by Torah's Mashiach. That's what Torah's Baal Shem Tov is. V'lechein zeh l'uma zeh yesh bizmanenu is gabris ha'tumah rachmanu letzlan. And while we have access to the most inner Torah of all time, we already see the light of Mashiach bouncing back into our world, but we're facing a tumah like never before. Zeh l'uma zeh. Ba'ofen shelo haya mizeh shanim rabos. Mikeven she'ad l'rega achron tzarech shunis yonos. Till the last minute, till it's all over, Hashem has to keep the balance. So that means as you get closer and closer to Mashiach, and the light of Mashiach is more clear and abundant, so too the Tumah has to maintain that balance. So you're going to face Tumah and Nisyonos like never before. Which is why a person who's not learning the Svarim HaKadoshim today is in so much trouble. Because that's the only medicine. The world is falling apart. The world is falling apart, dafka, to counter what? The Pnimiyas HaTorah that we have access to. But if you just choose the world and you don't have the medicine, you're in big trouble. And as we explained above, Milchemes Gog u'Magog, until that's all wrapped up, we're still in it. Until all of the chametz has been removed, meaning the Avodah Zarah, the Yetzirah Hara, and then there'll be menucha to the world. Now look what he writes, three lines at the bottom. Al pi advar me'ela, yesh l'chol Yehudi l'schazig mitoch yediyah ne'amana shekach roi lios. This is how it has to be. No one should get to the Olam HaEmes after 120 and say, Hashem, it was really rough. Hashem says, don't tell me it was really rough. We spoke about it being really rough. You know it was going to be really rough. You don't have to tell me it's really rough. I know it was really rough. The only question is, did you hold on? But it was really rough. I told you it was going to be rough. I also told you you can make it if you want to make it. So we're mechazik ourselves with this idea. It'll be as difficult to hold on to one's emuna as it is for a person to walk on a kir chalak. It's like a person trying to walk on ice. I was walking to shul Shabbos morning, on the morning of the big snowstorm. Now, normally, when there's like a nice layer of fluffy snow on top, you think, like, okay, I can move more quickly. Once it freezes over, then you have to be careful. And I was slipping and sliding the whole way to shul. Because there was a hidden layer of ice underneath. And I was so surprised. Every time I took a step and I started to slide, I was surprised because I was putting my foot down on soft snow. But it already frozen underneath. Once you know it's there, okay, so then you operate differently. So Rina Ahmed says, yeah, it's going to be very difficult to walk around in those days before Mashiach. You're going to have to walk very, very carefully. Whenever it's snowy, whenever it's slippery on the street, whenever I take that first, you almost fell, I always think of a Meir Primishlaner. My first slip always goes, is dedicated to a Meir Primishlaner. Why? Because a Meir Primishlaner, Kiyadua, used to go up and down this mountain to go to this mikvah. And it was mamish, frozen over. You could have made it down with like skis. So some other people saw, some other Hasidim saw him. They said, how does he do that? He just walks right up and down. So they say, okay, we'll try it also. They start walking, slide all the way down the mountain on their backs. They said to him, how do you do that? You're not even like taking it slow, holding on, like walking sideways a little bit. You're just walking right up and down the mountain to get down, go down to the mikvah, come back up. How do you do that? So he said to them, a person who's makusher above doesn't slip below. If your rope is connected above, right? If you're walking across a tightrope, but your harness thin, so you're not worried that if I fall, something's going to happen. Why? Because I'm attached. I'm connected above. So I always think of that. I always try to, when I'm walking down the street, I say, Hashem, I'm trying to be attached above so I don't slip below. Most of them just trying not to look like a fool and end up on my back. Right? But if you attach yourself above, you don't slip below. So Rabbi Nachman said, it's like walking on a frozen pond. It's like walking on a slippery wall without the proper gear. Acher kach hosif, turn to the last page, turn it over. Rabbi Nachman said, and if you think of talking about fancy levels of amuna, deep amuna, I'm not. I'm talking about amuna pshuta. To just hold on any level is going to be very hard. Just that simple reality that God created the world, period. Without any fancy, deep understanding of what that means. Just push it to believe it. Is going to be very hard. And Rabbi Nachman concluded, I'm being megala this what? So that you can be mechazik yourself. That you'll be able to say to yourself, four lines down, Shayapam Yehudi B'Shem Rabbi Nachman, Shamar Kvar Bizmano, that it's going to be this way, and I'll draw chizik from it. And you see, he quotes our piece in Sichas Aran, Os Lamanei and Reshchav. Okay? He writes in the next paragraph, Lachain, B'chsuvim U'ma'amari Chazal. Therefore, we find Rabbi Nachman, who said, Daniel also predicted it. Says the Kozim Rabbi, a lot of people predicted it. And we have to mechazik ourselves by going back to the Pesukim and Tanakh. To be mechazik ourselves in the realities. The Chazal revealed to us the Nisyonos HaKoshim before Bias HaMashiach. Where do I find the list of everything that's going to happen in the Mikvah of the Mashiach? Where is that list in Chazal? Where is the list in Chazal of all the things that are going to happen before Mashiach? Sota, the Mishnah at the end of Sota. A whole list, Mikvahs of the Mashiach, .. A lot of things on that list. It's all been predicted. Elchanan Wasserman wrote about it. Rav Shimon Schwab, at the request of Rav Elchanan Wasserman, wrote a whole kuntris, a whole sefer, on Mikvahs of the Mashiach. with all the Mamar Chazal, that you should carry it with you and you should chazer it over. You can get the Sefer, it's available. You can chazer over everything that's going to happen, so you know it's going to happen. Rav Shimon Schwab was asked to put it together, and he did. Mayan Beis HaShoev on Ikvaz of the Mashiach, it's called. Same name as his Sefer on Chumash, with the subtitle Ikvaz of the Mashiach. Kadesh B'nei Yisrael Yischazku B'zeh, you know it's going to be this way, and you're not nervous. Now look what he quotes. Uva'ot she'adam arisho, kishehischil achoshech mimash meshuvah motzei Shabbos nisyare. When Adam Arishon saw the world getting dark, he quotes the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, right? There's also that Gemara at the beginning of Avodah Zarah that's similar. My Avodah Zarah man. Not Avodah Zarah man. Mesechus Avodah Zarah man. You and Nachabovsky. Okay? Yeah, so Adam saw the world getting dark and he panicked. Do we panic every time it gets dark? Every night, do you panic? How do you know the sun's going to come up tomorrow? The answer is, I know it's going to come up tomorrow. Hashem said it's going to come up tomorrow. Yom b'layla lo yishbosu, like the Chavetz Chaim taught us. Halo anu yodim shekach min hagosh olam. We're not afraid. We're not afraid of the dark. Adam didn't know what was happening. But we're better informed. We know what's happening. We know it's going to be dark. We know it's going to get crazy. Ukisheroim, where it's underlined, Shachoshech mizgaber biyoser, yodim shekvar sof halayla. By us, we know that it's dark as before dawn. If it's really dark, we know that means we're on the cusp of what? Of gula. We're mechazik ourselves. It's really dark. Great. That means we're almost there. And he quotes Yeshaya Chavav, v'chavik mahad raga, ad yavar zam. Just duck your head for a few minutes and Mashiach will be here. Just let it blow over. It's passing. It's going to happen. It's gonna end soon. He says in the next paragraph, kol misha ruach amuna bekirbo, sameach ha'eis, we should be thankful with every passing day that we're getting closer. This piece was written in Adar Sheni. He goes on, Adar Sheni is gevaldik time for Geula. If Tishrei and Cheshvan Kislev Teves Shvat Adar Aleph Fest, Adar Sheni, Chosberg Rebbe says, Adar Sheni is a gevaldik time for Geula. It's maybe the Iker time for Geula. And he brings Mamari Chazal that say that. Now look what he writes for his underline. So strong. Try this tomorrow morning when you wake up. When you wake up tomorrow morning, after you say Moda Ani Lefanecha, think to yourself the following: V'chein kishamashkin baboker hu mishabech hu moda al she'avar od laila me'agolus hamar v'nizkarvu b'chatzi yom l'bias Mashiach. Whenever it gets dark, right until it's morning, whatever, depending on the season, yeah, that's called night. That's the halach time period we call night. Yeah. When that night is over, meaning when you wake up in the morning and now it's Yom, say to yourself, wow, I made it through one more night. I'm another half a day closer to Mashiach. Right? Of course, the famous story of the Chos of Lublin's clock. Do you hear every passing moment as another moment of life gone by? Or do I hear what? Do I hear another moment closer to Mashiach? Wake up in the morning and say, I went to sleep, I was in Gaulis, I was in night, I woke up, it's Yom. And one day I'm going to wake up and it's Mamash going to be Yom. Lights on forever. And we'll end with the second to last paragraph because he brings an unbelievable thing from the Yismach Moshe. The Yismach Moshe said, he says here about the Yismach Moshe, Ilu zachino l'chelek echor mine rivo memadregos amuna shel Yismach Moshe. Halavai, we should live with Mashiach the way the Yismach Moshe lived with Mashiach. Look at this. Hainu misnagim achshav kedarka b'kodesh b'mei chodesh tishrei v'nisa. Shal mishkavo b'leilos lohaya poshit es malbushav zulas habekcha v'amin alayim. The Yismach Moshe, in the month of Tishrei and Nisan, which are befrat times, which are mesugal for geula, would sleep with his clothes on. He wouldn't change into pajamas. He would take off his overcoat, his bekesha. He would take off his shoes. Yeah? But he would stay fully dressed. You know why? That if the gabbai hears anything that might sound like Mashiach, wake me immediately. I'm ready to go. So that I can run towards Mashiach. That's how real Mashiach was to him. He slept in his clothes because he believed any second Mashiach could be here. And he would wake up at various points in the night. Anytime he would hear a noise, he would jump out of bed and ask, is this Mashiach? Because it was reality to him. He was living with the reality that we're almost there. And then we're going to make it through the night, and we're going to be okay. So the close of the Rebbe concludes with a bracha. Bizmanenu ain't tzrichim lahamtim al chodesh Nisan. We don't have to wait till Nisan. We don't have to wait for any Yom Mesugal. According to all the cheshbonos, Mashiach is time to come, and we're ready. And we follow the shita that even if we don't do tshuva, there's going to be a geula. So Birkat Hashem, we should be zocha to take this prediction of Rabbi Nachman in hand. To remind ourselves, like the Klausberger said, Shayapam Yehudi B'Shem Rabbi Nachman. Once upon a time, there was a Jew named Rabbi Nachman. And he told us that this is how it's going to be. And don't be foolish about it. Know that it has to be this way. This is the Shara Nun. The Aruch Haim HaKadosh says we can make it through. These are the final Birurim. Atem Nitzav Mayom Kulchem. Every single one of you can make it if you just desire to hold on to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this difficult time. Shkoyach.